Anyone could have gotten by, so, Well, working out the languages. as yet.
Well, you would do the wrong. You would take a look at that too much. And as I understand, we just gotta say there should be a ceiling on the town, period. And that means that this will apply to the Congress and the Senate. Where do you know they never have? The Congress has never done it. They've done it with the state managers.
Yeah, they've done it always on us, on the administration, never on themselves.
You know, they did 1968, but with the state managers.
I see.
Later on, they did it on you, but not on the Senate.
Yeah.
And that's why I was referring to it, because it seems to be a good thing. But your thought is that this is a good move.
Oh, I think so much.
I was answering you a huge task.
Also, the family strength.
It'll frighten people. That's what I'm afraid of.
Sure.
And if you don't want a drug policy, you're gonna be shot to pieces. If people get looking at this budget deficit, they draw their conclusion of the thing. Like it is out of balance. And inflation, hell, we're off the races inevitably.
I agree.
Then interest rates are consumed, no matter what I do. They'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but you know what's brought up the language, I wish you to take a look at is don't leave this entirely to Shields.
Don't worry.
Which ought to be absolutely unequivocal. You're very good at language, the strongest language you can use. No state actions. And that ought to be, ought to come at a prominent point of the budget message. Now, there's a piece of that that you signed yourself, but it ought to be in a piece that you signed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very glad my message is Tuesday.
That's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Well, we know that.
Well, another thing we'll do is to get the readers, the high boy, to say that this, I consider this to be a very important aspect of the message.
Would you like to make this say something, not publicly,
but one or two?
Sure.
You really want to get out of that?
Yes, sir.
Let's get that out, that this is something that we feel very strongly about. You know, in terms of the budget, we have, Weinberger's done a hell of a good job in holding down spending. The problem we have is, Arthur, as you know, where these family controls and the Congress are just up. We may have a budget that is out of control. Do you agree? You look at these numbers, and if you really think this budget is high, you should hear the squeals we're getting from Richardson, Bowie, Romney, and Harry, the old student cap options. Hell, the next thing, it's up a little bit more, doesn't it? What you've got, because the costs are up so much, it's the cost of this budget. Time is time. how they have seated, but we must have seated, not spending, but no state taxes, either to the administration or to the Congress. Use such words like that. I think if you, I think it's very good that you vote and sort of slip that out.
Yeah, well, now, Mr. Blitzer, we slip it out when?
For Sunday papers. Sunday papers. In other words, the police tax should be, financial columns. People that are going to be paying attention to, the people that care about budgets. The Dales, the Rollins, the Baxter, the Wall Street Journal, he proud, Jackson.
Yeah, right.
You know. And I think that one thing would be very helpful is to say that agreement has been reached within the administration that has the total support of the Secretary of the Treasury, the Chairman of the Federal Reserve, and of the Director will be in. I put it in that this is one thing that there's total, and you might as well throw the CBA in there too. So that it gives the impression of total agreement within the administration, attached with that unanimous and a determination to hold this budget down. That we see that maybe in the future, we feel that the present budget will not be expansionary. I mean, inflation will be transferred without being inflationary. If it can be cut, but if we can keep the lid of spending down, but in the future, it's just going to get out of control. You can't imagine. There's a goddamn as much stuff down there. Even the stuff we stopped last year, we stopped about $10 billion or more spending. This year will be much worse. Take that damn water bill down. You know that? Must be one of them. Just, I should have said, fortunately, come up here, this is really far from trouble. Fortunately, the money isn't much of a spend this year, but we do stop the end of spending. Billions, committing out for billions of dollars to be spent next year, year after, and so forth, for a very modest gain than a few of them. Okay, now, hey, Lord, you mentioned that tribute that you
had. Well,
let's not break the law, that's
a little time on that.
I helped him, because he was seated.
Oh, well, I know.
their tough politics. We know how, we know their language, and knows how to deal. And I think, he might have the cooperation. He might. I think there's any man can do what he can. I think business people, you'd want to check one or two books. I think they would. your judgment has been a different chairman might have affected the different result.
I assume it is.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Could have done better.
Arthur's heart is in us, you know. He has a pretty good understanding.
I'll praise him for it.
Well, now, Grayson. Grayson that has guts. He runs that commission very efficiently. Now, what they have an impossible job is for us. But I talked to John about this, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to you. I put a very specific proposal to Grayson. He was interested, asked me to come and talk to the entire commission about this, another question I did. The proposal is as follows. Pick some number below 2.5%. Say 2%. Or preferably, in my opinion, they can pick their number 2%. Then you say to the business community, say, if you see good, convincing business reasons for advancing prices up to this figure, you don't have to bid over it. You're on your own. But what you have to do is report what you've done. You have to justify in your report the increase of rounds of cost, and you have to assume the risk. But if the justification does not stand up, they'll be rolled back. Now, this would open up a broad zone of freedom subject to market processes in the economy. And I may be wrong on this, but I don't see how this is going to work against
that below 2%.
Any kind of inflation.
By the way,
and you know they've been thinking of exempting this industry or that industry, you know. You open up just a broad zone across the economy and just safeguards. And I've talked to some business people about this. They think it's great. Those I talk to. You give the market a better chance to win. Now they're considering this, and I don't know
what
they'll do.
Yeah, they're
considering.
Yeah. What do you think, John?
You know, Arthur and I talked about this person, what they've done, and I think one reason they've just perhaps delayed the decision on it, they've just exempted from all controls the small business firms in the United States. Number of 1,200,000. Everybody who does $100,000 gross or less per year is exempt from all of them. And that's 14.9%. That's about 7.5% of all business firms in the United States.
Is this all businesses or retail
business? Retail business.
Retail.
Retail business does not include barbershops or personal services or clothing
or manufacturers.
Or manufacturers. It's the retail store. But it represents 15% in volume, 75% in the number of all the retail outlets in the United States. Now, they went further and exempted from reporting, I believe I'm correct, all those who have a volume of less than $200,000. They exempted those up to $100,000. And goes up to 200,000 from any reporting. So that takes them up to 87% of the retail firms. And I think they're probably concerned about taking too many steps to decontrol, particularly in the light of some of the statements that have been made that, you know, everybody's thinking about decontrol, and they're afraid that it's going to lose complete control of the staff and morale and everything else if they just do too much one thing rather than another.
One suggestion involves the retention of control.
Yeah.
But if you go, and I'm thinking of the big firm.
safety as much. We should only stop the campground, but that's really all we possibly hope to control with this small system. Just the big outfits.
It's getting easier. They still have to do their reporting yesterday, but instead of waiting around for weeks before decisions made in Washington, they do it on their own. I'm thinking, without thinking of something that will get this economy moving faster here and there. How much of an effect is it going to have? I don't know.
I think it's a positive step.
Right.
One thing it could have, if you could do it rather than presenting in terms of what you need to control, is you present in terms of what you're still controlling, as far as buying the bills and number of prices are concerned. And there you're still controlling 75-80% of the prices.
And you can describe my situation as a more efficient kind of control.
Now, what is the relationship that we have with the price commission? Well, my understanding is that it's somewhat, not what are we called, and what we do next.
Price commission acts more favorably for businesses more easily.
need all the big business and the paperwork and the price commission are really just two of the big business that press down on labor. So the price commission is somewhat worried about adopting a policy that frees this much action on the part of everybody when they're under this kind of criticism. That's one of the things I think is worried. But they will do it anyway.
I think they can do it, John. The main thing that's going to count at the end is not the criticism, but whether it works. And so that's what they've got to decide. And they can take a few months quickly now, but get it done. Get it done. The other thing that recommends this to me is that is we look at the yeast in our economy, it usually does not come from the great corporations. It comes from that great mass of shall we say, entrepreneurs who are not an active involved in that market. I like to keep them as free as possible. I just don't like the great corporations that have expected to be controlled. And they are in many, many ways anyway. You know, they're controlled by boards of directors and all that. They're sort of quasi-governmental anyway. You do want to come down to you each other GS. But you reach out, yes, it's a very different reason. Yet, I sure as hell would like to have, as I heard them, I'll put it this way, the Main Street businessman, sitting here with the Wall Street businessman, that small manufacturer out in Lima, Ohio, is compared with the guy down there in Pittsburgh. There's an awful different thing. It's a different kind of ballgame. And I think it's just, and it just irritates the hell out of them. Another thing that I think we should have in mind is, frankly, excuse me, political terms for the moment. We have to remember that what you were talking about here is decontrolling, except for reporting that great mass of what we call small and middle businessmen who have usually been the basis for our support. In other words, there are kind of folks. They're far more our kind of support than the big businessman. The big businessman plays winners. The small businessman kind of believes in things. He still believes in the country and the state and the church and God and this and that. And the big businessman believes only in what the hell's going to keep his job and the board of directors. That's true of all big businessmen. Some are still small big businessmen at heart. You see, but this is inevitable. As institutions get bigger, they get more, agnostic. They believe less and less of themselves. I mean, you know, already.
Think you're all with the pros of money?
There might be, but I think you're clear from that. But I think that's the battle. It's a question of how to do it. Should we get on a week to the board? I think so. I think the thing we don't want to do is start trying to dictate to them. Particularly for this office, if they get out of the president's trying to screw it up.
Only how it's working, I don't know. I think you guys can't understand.
I see what you put this is down. So
I think it must be good for the president. We must, I think that we've got to keep our eye on two main objectives, political objectives this year, jobs and prices.
Yeah.
Now the only interest I have in freeing up the economy just a little.
Yeah.
Is jobs.
Yeah.
Now the only interest I have in recommending Mark Gober to this president is, well, sure, keep those wages down, then you have a chance on prices. Now, here is the situation at present, so I see it. It may change, but here's where we are now. The wage board making some extravagant wage recommendations. Now, they have a very difficult time. Much of it is inescapable. I know that. But here it is. You have a pay board which is kept on prices, which means, you see, the profits, which are dangerously low, are being squeezed. still in it for long.
Now,
that has to work.
Yeah, when you start from the position, but we were starting from position zero, the closest parallel, which is the year 1938, that's how far back it is.
60.
But that's where before we got here, the province didn't sweep started.
Only as it started, well, it started in 60,
yes, 66.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think not.
Yes, it's been going on for a number of years.
And there's been improvement.
Yes.
Well, percentage-wise, it's impressive, but we start from a low base. It doesn't mean too much.
Now, one of the reasons you don't have the growth in the economy that you should fight, because if you don't have profits, you have money to put back it in,
you're flat.
And if that part came, then the lingering is the business people became aware of the profits squeeze years after it was already underway.
They came aware of it in 1970.
Well, 69, 70,
but right now they started, that's why you're laughing now.
They started cost cutting.
Yes, they had to.
Well, now, they got scared, bitten, and they respond with a leg. That's the way business community is.
Their past is pretty curious.
Very interesting. Well, Mr. President, you take this pay board, if the wage board contains, no, if the pay board contains on this present track, just make that assumption. Then, very simple, the price question, these are responsible customers. They will have to validate what the pay board is doing because they are concerned about what is happening to profit margins. They can squeeze them for a while and try to exert some discipline. But once they start validating extravagant wage increases,
hell,
they will be down the price level in November.
John, do you share this with you as well? If Arthur's taking Arthur's premises, then it can be no other interest. I'm not satisfied that the pay board is going to continue on this course. Maybe it is. I agree with Arthur that Jeff Bowles is probably not wise. Charles in light of his actions. I think he probably is going to go on in the administration just precisely as Arthur laid it out. And I'm afraid he is acting as a judge instead of as a leader. And if this be true, now I must say at the same time,
that I think he's
got an impossible job.
If he
had a more decisive man in there, it might have made a difference, but not a hell of a lot. Because you're only aerospace industry.
Yeah.
You're not going to move. Well, I'll give him the charity about that. To get that much turnaround on 8.3.
You know, if I can interrupt you, you didn't know it, John.
You just aren't reminded
as well.
The best man for this job is dead.
Mitchell.
Jim Mitchell.
Been perfect for the job of new labor, Cat Strong. Simply knows a hell of a lot more about this subject than people on the board. Now, there is
labor who just knows as much about labor as I know. He's negotiated with those steel workers so long, and he's so good.
Well, that was, you know what he did for?
He had to cry out, you know what he did?
You know what he did for Kennedy? He was a miracle man, and suddenly his kids, you remember that?
Yeah.
Brother.
Well, I haven't seen all he did, but he's an enormously capable man, that's what I think in the UN, he was badly cast, when he's not ordered, and he had to be a speaker at that miserable organization, when it is miserable. On the other hand, it may be John, as the director of our organization yesterday, is one of those things, just taking on a lot, where you need one man who can do the job. And frankly, of course, he uses everybody else. But one man's gonna sit at the top of the career, he's gotta determine what the hell he's gonna do, what we all do. And he's gotta get around and sell business members and the labor guys, and, you know, Weevil, Control, and all the rest. Arthur might be that kind of man. He may be a very good inside man. So the fact that he may not have run the labor department, well, I don't know if he did or didn't. The fact that he may not have run, been a big order in the UN, doesn't mean he might have this job.
See,
so that's a decent.
I think I'll put it well when you say you're bad at cash at the UN. I think that's right. And I think he was not in his field.
See,
no, I'll take one way of checking on the record. The some of the members, business members of that labor management committee. There is Joe Locke, he has his field. There is Rattles of the aluminum company. There is Tom Watson. Now those three I recall. There was Saunders, Pennsylvania, the one I talked to him.
Yeah. Well, we went in small, but in the court had a problem.
So I was with that advantage. Yeah, but he contributed.
Yeah, he did it.
Was he the one that went for all of the five golf courses and all that stuff? One of my good faces, but he was the badly cast to Virginia. He was looking good money to check with. They watched
it. Yeah, they definitely that problem, Arthur, you know. The moment you start checking, the word gets out.
Yeah, I'll be
very excited.
Yeah, I'll be very.
No, let me say that, so before we leave this, John, I have no problem at all on his politics. That bothers me that he is a Democrat, he's very partisan, he's liberal, and he's labor and all the rest. Because basically, I think he's a taker. Job, you were asked to go, so that is off.
Okay.
You want to see me?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I'd like to see. I'll do that.
He's looking at this topic. He's up to you.
Oh, yes, he is.
Sure.
Well, he must be right along.
The biggest mistake he ever made was going into the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
God, I forgot he was there for a while, wasn't
he? Yeah, I'm just an amazing.
What a career he's had.
No, he sure was there.
I'm like,
hey,
that's right, I remember.
I just think he's been Secretary of Labor in the Supreme Court.
He was
an ambassador to the UN and a candidate for governor.
There you are.
He's had quite a career in this, sir.
As well as the chief counsel for the
he made it, John.
Hmm?
Yes, he did.
John was the front man.
Arthur was not just having brains, Arthur.
Arthur, the entrepreneur, is very, very smart.
Oh,
I think Steve, I haven't talked to him in 10 years.
Oh. You know, I wish that I thought I'd come to me earlier.
Well, this is not a question. I mean, we don't
pitch in
it's a premise or something that,
well, you know, we've got to keep our perspective here, right? One perspective.
not say, they're looking back at the period before August 15th, our meeting in Camp David, and now, well, we still have some rocky roads to grant to go over, that they're a hell of a lot better off.
We're a hell of a lot better off than we were, but I don't think.
I'm looking at him.
That's right, I don't know what they're gonna be, and I'm tired, and that's the point, I mean, and the whole lust of politics, becoming economics is, what have you done later? Not what, well, not what you lost 15th, could agree more. But I mean, in terms, leaving out the other things, like the national monetary thing, at least, we do have a real way. Having, we are gonna get something out of trade, we've already got something out of burden sharing. We would have gotten none of this had we not moved on that, none of it. There's some Japanese friends here. They're unhappy, not all, I believe, they're more all right.
Unless President Romney tells us, I know the Japanese are not still there.
You see,
I see a fair number of Japanese in here, why? They are scared, they cannot quite forgive you.
Why?
On the China, more than on the trade and the monetary problem. And therefore, keep this very much in mind before you go to China or after a bolt, you see.
Right.
We have this something to heal it.
But we're doing that, right? We have, that's what the main, actually the main thrust of my conversation is, saw a fortune for not everything that is finished. Trade, then we have to talk about it. And we can do Europeans, but we utilize knowledge of one channel. Knowledge, everything's a matter of these cities. That was the agreement. If you do, they want to get to China first, which is, of course, fine. They ought to. I told the Japanese in 66 and 7, and I was very stupid, because your policy should be the same as ours. You're next to China, you got to go on, you got to go. The difference is that they want to get there for another reason than we do. They want to get there because of trade and all of that. And our purpose is much bigger. It encompasses theirs in a way.
But they're also
our military security, except on their security. But that, there, they depend on us. But our purpose is to prepare for China, which they, of course, cannot expect to understand, because Russia's no threat to them. Our concern is Russia. We need China in order to keep the Russian game going. On a completely different subject, Mr. President, it's obvious something that was going on in the field. These hearings in Parliament are called, where we call all these economists and let guys like Fred Harris testify. Speech that Kennedy made yesterday at Brussels. My God, David, it's going to be a bitter bargain in years, it looks like. Really burning. You celebrate my first speech with David Ewing and Stephen Sillian for opening the motion. This is not the time to draw the sword, sir. I never asked about that before. No, sir. But the only thing about this might be nasty, but it's going to be so ironic yesterday. But I would just comment. I think there is now some there at White House. Kennedy made a vicious attack on you. Oh, it's a personal attack. He is all love, my God. Love hands of civilians. We're trying to keep you until after our election. That's my trust. We have something coming up. What's the problem on that?
They're digging up this is 1956.
1956.
I refuse, man. This is a kind of that's a lousy.
This Harris thing. He just been trying to revive this whole oil thing. And they want to try to picture and use the two of the big rich. You know, this is going to be the whole thrust anyway. Harris, in my respect, the oil thing. Well, they all say, well, okay. He brought it up in terms of contributions and how efficient.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the Hubert Humphrey.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they got a this thing. John Connolly's supposed to have gotten me all the way to 1968 and turned to
first of all, my position on depletion goes very back to the days I was in Congress. I was a Californian. And I've always thought that. So there had nothing to do with it. I didn't get the money. So the second part is, Hubert take the money and buy a kid. Well, they didn't roll. That's good. And God, well, you know yourself, that was a total negative lie.
But you're
a
damn
lie. We never talked. Purely, absolutely. I never talked to John. I said, I don't like it because I know. I don't think anybody, John, ever talked to you. And I don't think any of your oil friends ever said, well, it next will be all right on the police and we'll get money. Not one of them. It's a total that's really what we're up against, right?
And also, one study is your record on the police. You take in the Revenue Act of 1969, what do you press that on the police?
Yeah, sure, you did. And I said, this, you have the best to do it.
You may have a lot of people.
No, I can't say I did.
Good.